And hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on still yet another hot Monday. Chance of showers later this afternoon. Heat index around 100. So, see, we don't even have to write out anything else. We can just use the same copy from all weekend long as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM, your community radio station. Right here in Kansas City, we're glad to be here no matter what the weather. Wherever you are, stay cool, get some liquid refreshment, and enjoy the program. We're going to talk to you about some interesting things going on you might want to check out in the next week or so as things go on by. And with us to tell us all about this special event, which is going on, our friends over at the Barn Players in Mission, Kansas. They've been our friends for many years ago, for many, many years. I go back a long time. I remember when the Barn, I should admit this, I remember when the Barn came of age. That was the slogan they used. Their 21st year, what is it, 50-something now? 60. Yes, I think we're getting up there in age, aren't we? That was the voice of Vita Bikala. She is the president of the Barn Players in Mission. They've been all over Johnson County. Should I call you the Barn Players of Kansas City now?
If you'd like. We like to think of ourselves as being, across the state line, Kansas City, as well as Johnson County.
Sure. Well, she is here to tell us about the festivities they have going on, and they are going to be festive. And Rick Baumgartner returns to Kansas City after being gone for a decade, he told me.
Right.
A long time. I remember seeing him in a show years ago. It was Frankie and Johnny.
That was the one.
It was quite a strong-themed show, Rick.
It was. It was. It was. I started that show out naked, Vita. And it didn't get much better from there.
Okay. Good joke, Rick.
Thank you.
Good joke. Thanks. But you've been away. You mostly direct now. You were away for a decade.
Yeah, I've been directing around the Midwest region rather than focusing here in the city primarily. Down in Wichita and Cincinnati, up in Minneapolis. So been doing some things.
Well, we know Minneapolis is pretty hot property there. What about Wichita?
Wichita is actually one of the most thriving theatrical cities in the Midwest. There's five professional companies there in that little town of about 400,000
really?
People.
Five.
And a couple of community theaters and melodramas and all kinds of things that happen there. Yeah. It's good.
You've been focusing on directing, and you were asked, I assume, by the board of the Barn Players to direct their annual Barn Benefit Concert, which is coming up very shortly at the Barn, and it is called Sondheim on Sondheim.
That's correct.
Featuring, of course, the music of Stephen Sondheim.
And the words of Stephen Sondheim. We actually get to see him on projections, and he talks about his life from being an only child, being the child of a divorced parent, going to live with the Hammersteins for a while, and that's where he learned to write music is from Oscar. In fact, one of the lines in the show is that if Oscar Hammerstein had been a geologist, he probably would have been a geologist, which would have been America's loss. But we get to hear all kinds of things, and from his early career to 84, which is where he is today. You'll become his friend by the time the show is over. It's amazing.
So through his music, we get to follow his life.
Right.
Yeah, well, picking the songs, did the board or Vita have any input on that? Did you get to pick?
No, it is a show that you get that comes as one piece, much like if you rented Into the Woods from Music Theater International. This has been put together by one of his collaborators, James Lapine, and so it features a lot of songs that people haven't heard. In fact, I was thinking as Ethel Merman was singing when we came in, there's a song in the show called Smile Girls, which he and Julie Stein wrote for Ethel in Gypsy, and it was in for exactly one performance because they realized it didn't have anything to do with the plot. They were just trying to give her another number.
Was it Rosalind Russell?
No, it was Ethel Merman.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, you'll hear songs that you've never heard that were his works that never made it to the show or that the director didn't like and got cut. And so you'll hear three different openings to A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, and you'll finally get to hear the one that everybody knows, which is Comedy Tonight.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's, perhaps the most well-known song from that particular show.
Sure.
Yeah. The show opens. It's only for two nights and one afternoon, I believe. correct me if this is wrong.
Yes, that's true.
You should jump in and correct me if I'm wrong.
You're doing fine.
June the 24th, Friday, 7:30 p.m., although on their website it says 6:30, but then I figured out they're talking about the opening festivities
the
show. Then again, Saturday the 25th at 7:30 p.m., Sunday the 26th, a matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Barn Players in Mission, Kansas. Their address, 6219 Martway in Mission, Kansas. And if you MapQuest things, you need the zip code, or it's easier if you do the zip code. You just fill the zip code right in there, and it'll get you there. 66202, or online at thebarnplayers.org. And you told me, Vita, they still can walk up and get tickets at the door?
That's right. Yeah. Yes, we can seat 163, so there's plenty of room.
Yeah. About how many songs in the show, Rick?
38. 38 songs in the show, 38 musical numbers, either a portion of or the entire song.
Yeah. How many singers are in the show?
8. 4 women and 4 men. Incredible singers. 4 of them are new to the barn and have never worked there before.
Well, let's hear about them.
Oh gosh. One of them is a lovely woman who has an MFA in music from Northwestern University in Chicago, Liz Kaler, and she's making her first appearance after about a 7-year absence, and she gets to sing songs like Send in the Clowns, mm-hmm. and those rich, wonderful message songs. Another one is a lovely lady by the name of Amy Erb. Amy and her husband Terry have just moved here from Tucson, Arizona. Terry is who directed me in that play you were talking about earlier, about 17 years ago, Frankie and Johnny, in the Claire de Lune. Amy is making her debut, her Kansas City debut, here on the barn stage, and when she saw the facility last night, Vita, she was so excited about it because she had not ever been in the barn yet. So she was just in love with the space and the things she gets to do, and she actually is recreating the role that Vanessa Williams did on Broadway. So if that gives you the kind of mm-hmm. things that she's doing. There is a young man by the name of Chuck Dewar who has been to the barn several times, but he hasn't acted on the barn for, I think he told me, 36 years.
Yeah.
So this is his first time in their current location. And then there's another lovely 18-year-old. Oh, she's just delightful. Vivian DeVoe. She just graduated from high school. She plans to go to New York next year, not this year, and study at the Academy of Performing Arts there. And she's I don't know what to say. She's one of the sweetest human beings I've ever met, and a voice directly from God.
When you do your casting, do you think her for this song, him for this song, or do you hear them out first?
No, I have to hear them out first. Obviously, the songs lend themselves to particular people and then also particular people's voices. But as this is a collaboration of his works, it was wonderful to be able to say, this isn't a song that you may ever get to sing, and you could sing it in this particular place because we can take it out of context from where it's used in the show. And so I did several of those kinds of things. And so there's lots of humor you'll see that probably wouldn't have been there if it was in the original production.
Well, you never know, perhaps. But again, you, as a director, you get to put your own stamp on things in a way. And that's probably one of the only ways you can do that.
James Lapine actually comments about that in the way that he wrote the show. It was so that the people who do get the chance to direct it can actually do what they want to do with the production. It can be a concert version. It could be a fully staged with several different costume changes and a lot of different props version. It can be just a musical review, or you can tell stories, which is the way that I wanted to do the show, with very minimal costumes and very minimal props and very minimal sets, because this is a benefit for the barn, and 100% of the ticket sales go to support them. So I didn't want them to have to put any money into those kinds of things, and they didn't want to have to try to put any money in that, so that it could be a fully 100% supported fundraiser for them, which I think is amazing and truly wonderful. So it got to be that I listened to his stories, and then I tried to make the songs relate to what he just said instead of necessarily to how it is within the scope of the production that song is in.
Yeah, well, speaking of the barn and the activities, it is the barn's annual fundraiser.
This is our biggest fundraiser of the year. What people may not realize is that 60% of our annual budget comes from ticket sales from our shows, but 40% of it is reliant on donations and fundraising, and this is the major fundraiser of the year. And we are so grateful to Rick and his his people for donating their time and talent to make this happen. Even the musicians, everybody is donating their time and talent. And we will have wine there. That is being donated. We will have dessert there. That is being donated. And a plethora of raffle items, all of which have been donated. So any people buying tickets for this, as well as their donations, 100% tax deductible.
Oh, yes. If you itemize, perhaps.
Yes.
If you itemize, perhaps, that would be 100% deductible,
yes,
then. So it gets underway like an hour before the scheduled
right
start of the show.
Right.
Well, what should they expect when they walk in at, say, around 6:30?
Well, the box office opens an hour before each performance, and we will have the raffle items set up in the lobby. And there will be wine flowing. And during intermission, then they can come out and do their final tickets for the raffle, as well as have a little dessert, mm-hmm, and go back and enjoy the second half of the show. We also will have door prize at each performance. So even though the raffle itself will last through the three performances, with the winners being announced after the Sunday matinee, everybody, you know, each of the performances will have the opportunity to get excited about the door prize. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know what the folks are thinking. What kinds of things are in this raffle?
Well, I'm so glad you asked.
Amazing things. I saw the list.
Yeah. Everything you've always wanted to know about what's on the raffle is
right
on that list.
Everything you've always wanted. But
I've been watching too many Cars in the year.
We have everything from Royals tickets and tickets to many of the local theaters, Quality Hill, Starlight, Okta in Olathe, lots of movie ticket gift certificates and overnight stays at local hotels. We've got food and wine courses at Johnson County Community College, a private dinner party for 12 at Kirkwood Circle private dining room that's being cooked by a board member, and I'm doing the dessert, so that will be an entertaining evening. We've got a two-hour closet makeover with a bottle of wine, so you sit back and drink the wine while some stranger is weeding out your closet.
Oh,
it's fabulous. We have an Apple basket with gift cards for iTunes and for Apple products. How about this? Tomstown Distillery, a private tour.
Speaking of Tom Pendergast,
It's a private tasting and tour for 15 people. So a huge variety of things. And it's great because unlike a silent auction where you tend to get outbidded, this way, you buy your raffle ticket, you put it in the little pot for each item you're interested in, and the rest is up to the fates.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get.
And you can buy as many tickets as your pocketbook will allow.
Which Vita and the rest of the board encourage.
Absolutely.
sounds like a fabulous two nights, one afternoon. Do they have to be present the night?
No, they don't. In fact, if you're on vacation next weekend and some of these items sounded good, or you can go on Facebook and see the entire list of our raffle items, you can always contact us and send us a check, and we will take care of your tickets for you. You do not have to be present to win.
Yes, indeed. That's information like this, similar information is probably on the Barn Players website, which is thebarnplayers.org. The barn, of course, is located at 6219 Mart Way in Mission, Kansas. There is a phone number to call. It's not manned or answered by a woman every day. if you leave a message, if you're dealing with a handicapped situation, that's the best example I can think of. You can leave a message for them there, and that number is 913-432-9100. We're talking about the Barn's annual benefit concert, Sondheim on Sondheim. We're here with, we went to the top again, Vita Michaelis, the president of the Barn Players, Rick Bumgardner, actor, director for the show. The Barn has a lot of activities. In fact, there's two sessions during the year where they do children's productions. And they break it down, by the age of the child.
Right. This is Barn Kids during the summer. And there are 2 3-week sessions, one in June, one in July. And this is for our youngest thespians. They are going into third through going into seventh grade. And it is so rewarding working with these kids. We have basically three goals in working with these kids. We know that a handful of them will very well go on to careers in the performing arts. The majority of them, we hope that we'll have a lifelong relationship with the performing arts. And then there's a handful that if they do nothing else, then occasionally as an adult go out for a night of live theater, we'll feel as if we've done our job.
Really? See, you build an audience for the future even with young
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
Whether they perform or not. Some will. Some will go on and be performers on many of the community theater stages around the area. Mm-hmm. And eventually you'll be on the Arts Magazine show.
Well, and I know that on this show, the majority of people listening are already sold on the benefits of the arts, but there have been studies that show that children who are exposed to the arts at an early age will go on to do statistically better on standardized testing than their peers who haven't, and they will be better at interacting socially, and as adults they'll be more civically involved. So keep it up, parents, because these kids will benefit so much from being exposed to the arts at this age.
The grade school I went to, they took us to the Philharmonic, that's what they called it then, to the little theater over there. I can't tell you all the things I saw, and who knows, maybe that's the blame for me being the way I am.
Well, we're grateful.
Some people are grateful, others not so much. But yeah, it's. I agree. The exposure early is very. I remember seeing Peter and the Rabbit at the Music Hall, and there was a local television kid show host named Tori Southwick, and he narrated Peter and the Wolf. Of course, all the kids were anxious to see him, especially doing the show. But the symphony was playing behind him, and there were people on stage acting out the parts. I remember that so distinctly, and it had to have been. Well, I won't say how many years ago, but it had been a lot.
Well, I think what we do at the Barn is unique. I mean, I know that there are a lot of opportunities for kids and the arts during the summer especially. But I think what we do is very unique because not only are they putting together a show in 3 weeks, but our teachers / directors are teachers by day, so they're used to teaching. And these kids learn everything from theater etiquette, theater vernacular. They learn theater as a team sport, which is kind of a unique way of looking at it, but they learn that it's a group endeavor and that there are no small parts. And these are all the things that need to be taught when they're young and first experiencing being on stage for the first time. And then we also have space in the lobby for an art display. For instance, last summer when we did Aladdin, the kids learned about the artwork that would have been from that time period, and they also learned to write their names in Arabic and then incorporated that into their art display in the lobby. This summer we're doing Disney Cinderella. Sorry, that was last year. Yeah. We're doing Disney Sleeping Beauty kids, and so they in June learned all about coats of arms and produced their own. So it's educational. They work on their own sets and costume pieces as we see fit. They don't operate heavy machinery, but they certainly participate in all aspects of the production.
Well, that's a big part of the production. Not everyone will be a star on stage. More of the jobs are building the set, doing the costumes and all that. Sleeping Beauty, of course, is the prince awakens her with a kiss. Now, that has to be fun for those age kids.
Well, this little guy from the June session wanted nothing to do with it. So,
oh, no. Yeah,
he kissed her on the hand, which was just fine. It was very chaste.
Well, it's fine. That's fine, I suppose. He's missing out on some of the fun there. He really is. Now, I suppose we should get that nailed down. Now, in January, February, it's a different age group than it is in the summer, right?
Right, that's Barn Junior. And that session is for middle and high school age kids. And it's great because when the little ones are too old for Barn Kids, they seem to all end up in Barn Jr. They don't want to leave. And then when they're too old for that, they're recruited as helpers for the summer sessions with the little kids. And that is so adorable because these kids, who are basically high school and college age kids, are so into mentoring the little ones because it was only yesterday that they were in the same position. And there's a lot of hero worship that goes on, and it's really very gratifying.
Yeah, well, talking with Vita and Rick about the show that's going on, the main part of the show, the Barn Benefit Concert, Sondheim on Sondheim, opens this Friday. Are we close to being ready, Rick?
We're pretty much there. Yeah, we're just fine-tuning and putting the... Vita just wiped sweat off her brow. She forgets she's on the radio. Or maybe she remembered. We are just putting the projections and the lights and the sound effects together with what the actors have been working 4 weeks and the musicians have been working 4 weeks doing. And God love the technical people over there, Sean and Chuck and Betsy Sexton, who have 2 days to do what everybody else has in 4 weeks. It's been, you talk about gratifying, it's been incredibly rewarding to me to see those men and women just pull out heroic efforts. I actually sent an email the other day that called it Herculean with what they got done so that we can put this benefit together in a week on the stage because of their schedule and what they do at the barn. They just closed a wonderful show, The Graduate. Those who missed that missed an amazing show. Then they had the Barn Kids production that ended last Thursday, and so for the first time, my cast was on the stage last night because we had Friday and Saturday to put our sets and lights and costumes together and get everything ready for that.
Yeah.
And then we open this Friday, so it's a very quick process, and it's a fine-tuned, well-oiled machine that they've got going on over there, and I'm really glad that we just, so far, there hasn't been a cog out of place, so, I'm just hoping we keep going that way.
And how do you feel about slightly changing the arrangements for a particular singer? Some don't like to do that ever. Some directors do it often.
You know, what's really wonderful about this is most of the singers were able to fit right in the wheelhouse of where the songs are, but there were some songs that some actors needed to do some things differently because they can't either hit that high note. For boys, I call that squeeze and blow time. And for the girls, they make nosebleeds happen and pierce your ears. So we've done some things there to help them because it is 2 hours and 15 minutes of singing with interspersed conversation in there. There's not, it's not like a regular play where there's a story and then we sing a song that continues to tell the story. So it's been a process for sure, but one of the nice things about this show is that it is Stephen Sondheim. And so there's a wealth of information out there that he tells you how that song should be sung and where you take catch breaths. Yeah. And he's forever putting F's and B's in the same sentence and right back to back. And so I've been yelling at my actors about that one is an F, not a V, and could you please make that an F when you sing? So it's been a joy.
You can tell just by listening.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. You can really tell.
Do you have perfect pitch?
Do I? Oh, gosh, no. That's why I direct. But I probably 6 of the 8 that I'm working with do.
Oh.
Yeah. It's really truly amazing. One person does not read music, and so she has learned it not being able to look at the score. She's had the parts banged out on a piano that she's recorded and done her things.
I'm always amazed. There's some fine singers in town that have also told me they don't read music.
Right.
They learn by listening, and they do a darn good job at it.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. Now Via's probably thinking Barn Kids ended the first part, but there's another part in July.
Right. As soon as Rick's people vacate the building on Monday, we start our July session of Barn Kids.
Yeah, theater can be very unforgiving. You'll have to vacate the building.
That's right. And we will. Right after we have 3 performances of full houses, 163 people at each one of those performances, please go online and book your tickets right now. That's at www.thebarnplayers.org.
Okay.
Thank you, Rick.
So Barn Kids begins again in July.
Right. And actually, we still have a couple openings if you're looking for something to do with the kids last minute and you think they might enjoy being in a production. We can accommodate that, and they can go on the website.
Yeah, it's been a long summer for some of those folks out there. Find something for those kids to do.
And it's it goes on from 10 to 4 daily.
I was just going to say, while we don't ever say prices on the radio, it's cheaper than paying a babysitter.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I've seen the price, and it's well worth it. You know, the thing that I love about that is children are the most honest audiences. They're also the most honest actors because they haven't learned to suspend belief yet. And so watching those kids, I got to see part of a rehearsal when I was in the barn one day, watching them believe that they were in this fairy tale was just, oh, it made me grin from ear to ear to ear. And I hate that they ever lose that innocence, but it's if you're looking for something wonderful for your child to do and to grow from and learn life's lessons, because I listened to the director talk last week, and he asked the three questions that I would ask any actor, but it's all things we should ask ourselves in our life. Who are you? What do you want? And what's your purpose? And if you take someone in the third grade and you start asking that person at this point as they're playing a character to start asking those questions, they'll eventually learn to ask that about themselves, and they'll be more rounded and the kind of citizens I think we want.
Yeah, the Barn annual production, their annual benefit concert, I should say, Sondheim on Sondheim, opens this Friday, June 24th. The show begins at 7:30 p.m. The opening festivities that Nita has going on, that starts at 6:30 p.m. Same on Friday, the 25th, I assume. Festivities at 6:30. The show actually begins at 7:30. Then on Sunday, it's in the afternoon, a matinee, 1 o'clock p.m. for the festivities, 2 o'clock p.m. for the show. The Barn is located at 6219 Martway, Mission, Kansas. Go online, thebarnplayers.org. You can do your deal, as they say, online, or take a chance at walking up to the box office day of show and doing that as well. Barn Players, of course, are located in Mission, Kansas. I want to thank my guest for being with me, longtime president. Can I say that? Love
yes.
Barn Players. Vita Vitkala, that hasn't been here for a while. Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
She sends the actors or director or something like that. Sometimes she comes herself. Hendrik Baumgartner, been away from Kansas City for 10 years directing in Wichita on around the Midwest. Welcome back to Kansas. Are you going to
Thank
stay
you.
For a while?
I am. I'm here for a little while.
Okay. Thanks so much, both of you, for being with us. We're going to take a brief break. When we return, we're going to learn about the activities going on at the Corbin Theater in Liberty. Learn the history of that and what they have going on when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM. Hey, and welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host, as we travel the community, finding out what's going on in the arts community. We are part of the arts lineup here on KKFI. You have Arts Magazine on Monday at noon. You have Arts Speak Radio on Wednesday at noon with Maria and various other programmers who occasionally do something involving the arts community. Sometimes Charles Ferrugia on Friday does, when he's not covering the garage sale scene in Kansas City, which they do on the program. They feature that prominently on his program. But we try to cover the arts here in Kansas City, here on KKFI. The things, for instance, Corbin Theater is going to be with me in this segment. Oh, they might get a few minutes here or a minute there on some other program. Here, they're going to have about 25 minutes to talk, unless I talk it all the way. They'll have about 25 minutes to talk and tell us about the goings-on at the Corbin Theater, which is on the historic square in Liberty, not too far from that bank that the James Brothers robbed many, many years ago down there, about half a block away. And they're here. They're going to tell us about the Corbin Theater. It's a small little theater, but it gets the job done. They have a lot of things going on there. Laura Barch is with us. She is a major organizer of the music events
yes.
and a member of the board of the Corbin Theater. And Maggie Thomas is with us as well, the originator and director of the Corbin Kids Company. I guess Corbin Kids have something coming up fairly soon.
We do, yes, this weekend.
Uh-huh. Well, what are you doing?
Well, Corbin Kids Company is a 2-week-long summer camp program, and this is our 6th year. 3 years ago, we expanded to 2 separate camps because we had enough interest that we needed to expand. The first camp is younger kids, age kindergarten through exiting 5th grade, roughly, and we're doing Sleeping Beauty. And then at the end of July, we're doing Little Mermaid, and that is kids age 6th grade through 12th.
Yeah, well, working with young kids, special challenges involved with that there, Maggie?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I heard you talking in the earlier segment there. The Barn Player is also doing Sleeping Beauty, talking about teaching stage kissing. Mm-hmm. That's something that's always fun with younger ones. But kids learn faster than adults do. So while there are challenges, there's also great joy with working with kids. Like, I can't imagine putting on a full-scale production in 2 weeks with adults. Kids, it's no problem for them.
Oh, sure. Well, the thing with adults is, yes, it's serious, but you got to have fun with it at the same time.
Right,
you
right.
have to learn how to walk that line, having fun and being serious about the project. That's the name of the game there.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure it's no different at the Corbin Theater. Now, Laura is a major organizer of music events. So
yes.
What's the breakdown? There's theater events. You have also adult theater events. And you have a lot of musical events going on.
We do. We have lots of music events going on. And this past Friday, we had a couple from Washington come in and do a show. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And coming up in July, we have a Glenn Frey tribute. Which is on the, I believe, the 15th and 16th.
Mm-hmm. Lots of Eagles music in the show.
Lots of Eagles mm-hmm. music. And then after that, we actually we're going to have Maggie sing a show in August as well. But after that, we have someone from Spain coming in. So we are quite lucky that we get some talent from all around the U.S.
Mm-hmm. In a given month, how many of them are music events? What's a theatrical event? And the kids I'm counting as a theatrical event.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Well, with music, we try and have at least one major show a month. But we always have something called Jazz on the Square, which is the first Monday of the month. And we have Jazz Cats from Kansas City come up. And it's open. It's a free show for anyone to come and see a bunch of major cats playing.
Mm-hmm.
And we get up on the stage. In fact, that's how I got involved with Corbin, is I came up. I used to tour, and I've been a mother for many years and have been off the road. And I just was persuaded to come up and perform. And from that, I received some jobs through Corbin.
Oh, really?
And then they asked me to be on the board. So that's how I got involved with Corbin in general. But, so I think we do a great variety of theater. We do theater at least every other month.
Right. Yeah,
they need a good 6 weeks.
There's 5 to 6 theatrical shows on Corbin's stage itself per year. And then Corbin Kids Company is actually... We do our shows at Peters Theater at William Jewell there in Liberty. Our stage is, like you said, a small mm-hmm. theater. The stage floor itself is 10 foot by 20 foot. And so I've got, in my younger kids camp, I've got 53 kids. My older kids camp, I've got 60 kids enrolled.
So you need
and
more
so
space.
And so I need more
yeah.
space than Corbin itself provides. But Corbin sponsors.
But it's a Corbin show.
Absolutely. It's a Corbin-sponsored event. It's just, we just moved the location because we don't have the space at Corbin Theater itself.
So the next thing coming up would be your children's event.
Would be Sleeping Beauty.
And that's going to be where again?
That's at Peters Theater, which is on the campus of William Jewell. Mm-hmm. And it's next Friday and Saturday, 7:30. And then our Saturday, we've got a 7:30 p.m. and a 2 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
Show. And tickets are available online at corbintheater.org.
Okay, corbintheater.org. What about this phone number that was there, this 529 number? Should I give that out?
Absolutely.
Or is that someone's home number?
No, it's the Corbin phone.
Okay, 816-529-4988. Information there. Some people aren't quite into the Internet thing yet, but you're going to have to be because that's the future. Or corbintheater.org. The Corbin Theater is located at 15 North Water Street, Liberty, Missouri. It's on the east side of that historic old square in Liberty, Missouri. Everyone's heard or read in the paper that there was some building problems somewhere there, but not at your building.
Right, right. Down the street. Yep, same block, but down the street from us.
Yeah, and the old courthouse, I don't know if they do business in there, is just right in the middle of the square.
Right, yeah, the courthouse is still active. It's not a courthouse anymore, but a lot of the city offices are still located in there.
Yeah, well, a lot of people would want to know, who's Corbin, and why did they put the theater there? Is there a story there?
Well, the Corbin family, the Corbin name is big in Liberty. There's a lot of, they own a mill, the Corbin family, and so there's a lot of things named after that family. The building itself has been used for a lot of different things. It is a historic building. It's only been a theater for about 15 years or so, but the historic building's been around for a lot longer than that, and it was a like a drugstore and you know, so it's been several different things over the years, and it's a great building to walk into because you can see the original tin ceiling and the hardwood floor is still original to the building.
Do they tell you the story of why they put it there? Because it is a small space, although it's a very enthusiastic crowd there. So what, did they have any second thoughts about doing it the way they did it?
I don't know that the people who started our theater, Jane Boswell and Jereen Hester, I don't know that those women have ever had second thoughts in their lives. They're the types to just, when they see a challenge, they just go conquer it.
Yeah, I remember seeing a show. It was about a young lady who was in the service. She actually was captured by the Japanese and wrote letters. I remember seeing that show.
Waiting for MacArthur.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Yeah, it was a great show, but it was in that space. And the fact that there was only room for a minimal number of audience didn't affect the show really
right.
that much.
Right, about 80.
Yeah, just kind of put them in there in the side. And I guess the stage faces to the south, unless I'm turned around.
No, I think that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the theater is on the east side of that square there. So there's plenty of parking around the square, especially in the evening. All the music events are on that same stage. Or do they ever get outside onto the streets of the square in Liberty?
Actually, they do. We do have some events there. And we also use, during the 4th of July, we're not doing it this year, but we use community theaters around to do certain bigger shows.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we do go outside, and we use Belvoir Winery a lot.
I've been there. Yes. They say it's haunted.
I know, isn't that awesome? It's very cool, very cool. But we try and go out and get things from the community. We go out to the community. Again, William Jewell, we're so grateful to William Jewell.
Absolutely.
Because they do donate their space to us. So we have a lot of people who are partners with us. Otherwise, we couldn't do it because it was such a small theater.
Are you in the same space where they originated the Harriman Jewell series? Is that same building?
I believe they do that in Gaino Chapel.
Oh, okay.
Peters is right across the sidewalk, basically right down the hill. And that's where they do all of their theatrical events there at William Jewell.
Well, I can't make the comparison now, but you can tell those kids that, you know, this is the place where Pavarotti went.
Absolutely. Yes, we have. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm historic. We're talking with two ladies from the Corbin Theater in Liberty, Missouri. It's on the historic square in Liberty. Kimberly Barge, who is a major organizer of music events and a member of the board, and Maggie Thomas, the originator and director of the Corbin Kids series and a member of the Barn Board of the Corbin Theater as well in Liberty, and talking about some of the events they have going on along the year. I looked at the calendar last time I was on the web and saw one event listed. Actually, there were several different nights listed for it. It was called the Lucille Fletcher Radio Show. Sure. Now, this is a radio show, so I'm just kind of curious how that would work. Does she do it as if it were a radio show?
On stage.
Yeah, on stage?
Lucille Fletcher was a playwright, and she wrote several radio plays, including, we're doing two of them. The Hitchhiker was one that we are doing that she wrote, and she wrote it actually for Orson Welles. And then Sorry, Wrong Number is another one that she wrote, and we're doing both of those. And the cool thing about it is, you know, one of the important things about radio plays is the sound effects. And so the audience will have the opportunity to see them as if they're looking into a studio while a radio play is going on.
Oh, yeah. Actually, some of the old-time radio shows were performed before a live audience.
And right.
I've seen newsreel coverage of, it was Hope and Crosby. I've seen newsreel coverage of them doing one of those live radio shows. And here they were holding the script on stage. As soon as they were done with the page, they just let it fall to the floor. So the floor was a mess
right.
by the time the thing ended. But boy, things really moved fast during those radio shows. And that's indicative when you listen to some of those broadcasts. So who is in charge of that? Are one of you in charge of putting that together, Tim?
The producer for that show is Kim Glover, who she is the head of the theatrical committee for Corbin. And then Hannah Jahal is her name, and she is the director of that show. But we actually just had auditions for that a couple of weeks ago.
Saturday.
Yeah, you need to get that out. There's a lot of people that would like to take part in that.
Absolutely.
That was the golden age of radio.
We do have open auditions for most of our shows. So that's another thing that you can find out either by going to our website or finding us on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, it looks like you have a whole list of things you want to tell the audience about. So why don't you go ahead? That just caught my eye, but I'm sure you have other things.
No, sure. Yeah, we have other shows that are coming up in the fall. In October, we're doing Spoon River Anthology. And one of the things that we're looking to do with that Spoon River Anthology is to, you know, that is a series of poems and actually a series of obituaries. And we're looking to pull in some local people from Liberty and copy sort of the style of that, but use some of our local names, and so that's exciting. Christmas with Little Women is one that I'm directing in December, and the cool part about that one, that's actually a one-act play, but we're going to incorporate some music, some Christmas music into that, and hopefully tour that to some of the local areas, the Shoal Creek Living History Museum there in Liberty, hoping to do a production there, and also possibly at the big library in Liberty, just to get out to the community a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Christmas with the Little Women, is that actually one part of the regular series of Little Women shows?
It is, yeah. It's a play adaptation of that chunk of Little Women, that story, the Christmas scene. Mm-hmm. And it was expanded to be a one-act play. And so I'll be...
So yes, it was written by Alcott.
Yes.
Louisa May Alcott.
Yes, it was adapted from her book.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yes, she wrote books and things
right.
have been adapted. There's some movie versions
right.
and this play.
And there was actually a musical version as well.
A musical version?
There's a musical version of Little Women.
Are you going to tackle that sometime?
Maybe someday.
Sounds great. That's probably going to be at Christmas time. I'm just going to guess.
Yes. Yes. That one's December 1st through the 3rd.
Now, what other events do you... Just mention things and tell us about it.
Well, do you want to talk some more about music upcoming?
Well,
yeah.
I can. Again, it's like Glenn Frey is coming mm-hmm. up. And then...
Well, not actually Glenn, but...
Well, not actually Glenn.
His music will be coming.
His music. That would be awesome, though. I bet we'd sell a lot of tickets.
Oh, yeah.
That.
So, Stairway to Heaven.
and then actually, we have The Little Mermaid coming up at the end of that month as well.
Oh, sure. At the end of July. Yeah,
right.
That's my next Corbin Kids Company production.
And then we already talked about Lucille Fletcher, but we have the Music of the Night at Corbin, which is going to be on the 27th, which Maggie is actually going to sing, and we're bringing in a grand piano for it, and it's going to be pretty, pretty exciting.
Yeah, seeing the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I had to talk her into it, though.
Oh, really? Well, it sounds like you both sing with groups.
We do.
Well,
yeah, we've got...
Who do you sing with, usually?
Oh, gosh. Well, I do a lot of singing at... You know, for a lot of weddings, a lot of that sort of thing, do a lot of private events. I've sung with a duet group called Chorus, a friend of mine and I sing together. And then I'm actually recently joined a band called Six Berry Jam. That's a classic rock group in all of my spare time, but I'm not doing theater stuff.
Sure, sounds great. What about you, Laura?
Well, in the past, I graduated from Berklee College of Music, and I went on tour right away, and I toured with Black and Blue, went out east, and went out also in the south, Black and Blue, After Hours, X Factor, and the last band I was with, X Factor, I was married for 7 years, but became pregnant. And I thought I was going to go right back on the road, and I held that little boy in my hands and said, no. So from then I just, I do a lot of solo acts. I do teach music, and and I'm very active in my church, in the church praise band.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have solo shows, and I've done things with Maggie. Maggie and I do things together, and it's just being asked to do events at this point.
Will there one day be a night of Laura and Maggie?
Gosh, we hope so. we would have a good time.
Yeah,
oh,
definitely.
Sure. Well, go on. Don't let me keep interrupting with questions.
Oh, no.
Tell
no.
us about some of the other events that you have scheduled.
We're going to have Flamenco, which is a flamingo dancing.
Oh, no, that would flamingo. Be hot. Now, the Corbin stage would be so warm. When I host Dance in the Park in the summer, they will often have flamenco dancers. And, oh, that stage is so hot you can hardly touch it with your hand. Will it be that way at the Corbin?
I hope so.
Yeah, we've had a flamenco dancer one other time there, and I was amazed. I mean, just the energy that she exuded, it was right. quite impressive. And I'm sure that'll be
We're getting her towards the tail end. She's going to be here for the summer, and then she has to go back to Spain. So we're getting her at the very end with Spanish guitars, and it's going to be beautiful.
The Latin music really has a nice, I hesitate to use the word hot, but I can't think of anything else right now, kind of a hot romantic, hot-blooded flavor to it.
To find really good players. It's a different type of music, and it's different for us because we do try in the music, just like with our plays, we try and incorporate all different kinds of textures and feelings, and trying to just be different. Mm-hmm. The show needs to be different.
Offer a big variety,
right?
Yeah, because we've found one of the things that has been a challenge in the past, we've gotten so much better about it in the last couple of years, is just getting the word out about Corbin. You know, we are this located in sort of an unusual spot, you know, in the middle of a block, and you know, if you walk by, you might not see us. And so getting the word out about Corbin has been important, because we do put on some pretty cool stuff given the limitations of the size stage, and you know, but we work hard to make sure there's a variety to appeal to a variety of people.
And you need to hurry up and buy tickets too, because lately we have been selling out, which is beautiful for a small theater too.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we can't give ticket prices, but where are tickets available? Are they available, for instance, online at corbintheater.org?
Yes, they are. They're also, for most events, available at the Community Center in Liberty. And available at City Hall in Liberty.
I saw some acrobats at that community center. It was Chinese acrobats. That's what I saw at that community center. That's been a number of years ago, but that was rather exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's a great location for
but you can
Liberty.
But you can get Corbin Theater tickets there?
You can buy Corbin Theater tickets there, yes, and at City Hall, and then online always.
Okay. What when they call the phone number, can they make a reservation by doing that? Do you take reservations?
Sometimes. It depends on the event, and it depends on how close to sold out we are.
Yeah.
You know, if there's something that's really close to sold out, we might not be able to accommodate that. But that just depends on the event. They're welcome to call that number and find out, however.
Now, there's a limited number of seats. You said earlier how many that was.
80.
So that gives an air of exclusivity to it.
Sure. You know,
it's hard to get into a Corbin show.
It is.
They're always sold out. You know, you can say that. So you got to get some positive PR going.
Sure.
Yep. Well, and it's nice because it is so small. I mean, really, the performers are in your face, and so it's fabulous because you are part of the show, even if it's theater or if it's music. And a lot of times, I mean, we ask, don't sing along if you can't sing. But if you like to sing along, it's great. But if your neighbors look at you and say, you can't do it, but it's that's the charm of it. It's to me, it looks like you're walking into a vaudeville. I mean, just an old-time, neat little theater.
That's probably what vaudeville was like, at least in my mind. I see vaudeville usually being in small places. First, I know it played the Folly, but that was one of the big stops in Kansas City. When vaudeville played Liberty, for instance, it probably was in a smaller location like that.
Well, in the history of smaller theaters, too, we were not our theater per se, because ours is newer, but in the history of small theaters, they were the stock grounds. You know, they were the places that gave them the money for a hotel, basically, onto the big acts. And so that's kind of what we still look like and feel like inside.
Do you want to mention any more events? If not, I'd like to ask you about your philosophy. For instance, the Alcott Center, their philosophy is everything positive, nothing negative. Do you have anything similar like that? Or in general, what's the philosophy?
Well, we do have a mission statement that I don't have memorized. But our concept is just being really focused on bringing good quality theater and music events to our small community and being an active, vibrant part of the community and building Liberty itself as a destination, as somewhere that people who live south of the river might want to drive to because we do offer such high quality stuff.
Yeah, you've done a good job of hiding yourself. Up until about 4 or 5 years ago, I didn't even know, and I thought I knew every group in town.
Yeah.
But it took a while for me to get to know Corbin Theater.
Sure, glad you did.
Yes, we appreciate that.
True. I had to do some digging to find out. Yeah. Made a trip around the square there and saw the sign.
Well, we also have wonderful restaurants on the square. Square is a great place to visit anyway. And then on, I think it's the fourth Friday, everything is open till 9 o'clock. On the square, and so it's just a neat time to come down and check us out as well. But dinner and theater, we're right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, not too far. Also, well, that the bank that was robbed by the James Brothers, yep. That's just right up, was it
right
half a block?
Street. Yep, yeah. Yep.
Check that out. And then there's a place called James County where they have all kinds of period costuming.
That's true. Yes.
Right around that corner there. Do you make use of them for any of your costumes?
We have. And, yeah, the James County Market, those people are wonderful in there. And they've helped with not only loaning us costumes and such, but also providing patterns so that I can make stuff for my shows. And so, yeah, they've been wonderful.
So you can hear about all the events that are coming up at the Corbin Theater at corbintheater.org. There's also a number you can call and leave your number to get information, 816-529-4988. The Corbin Theater is located at 15 North Water Street in Liberty, Missouri. That's on the east side of the historic square in Liberty. And what is the next event coming up? It's the kids, I know.
Yes, yeah. The next show is this weekend. It's Disney's Sleeping Beauty. It's at Peters Theater on the campus of William Jewell. Shows are Friday and Saturday evening at 7:30, and Saturday there's a matinee at 2 p.m.
Yeah, well, nice. Thank you for coming.
Thank you
for having
me.
Nice to hear about you and the things going on. That radio show thing sounds interesting.
Well, come. Yeah, come see it.
It really does. Thanks for having you. Thanks for being with us here today to tell us about all the goings-on at the Corbin Theater in Liberty, Missouri. They are a secret. No more.
We hope. Thank you.
I want to thank my guest, Laura Barge, a major organizer of the music events and a member of the board, and Maggie Thomas, originator and director of the Corbin Kids Company, and their events are the ones coming up this coming weekend. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
The Jazz Insider, Sam is up next. He's going to be playing some great jazz for you. There's going to be jazz from 1 to 3. There's going to be blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at the Crossing the Road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.